Gabe Locke from USA Today joins us. Gabe, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for taking a bit of time today. I want to talk to you about some of the free agent moves that have been going on the last couple days around MLB. Max Scherzer going to the Nationals, a monster deal, 7 years, $210 million reportedly. Are the Nationals now the NL East favorites?
I think they were the World Series favorites even before making this move, simply because they're just such a really complete team from top to bottom. Just the lineup defensively, they did trade a piece of their bullpen away in Tyler Clifford. But that said, I mean, just 1-25, really well put together. And now, I mean, this is just huge. You add one of the most consistent, most dominant pitchers in the game. And that, to me, that takes them to a World Series. I mean, I would have pegged them as that anyway. But now you're talking about a guy who really could shut you down in the playoffs in addition to the guys they already had there. So it's far from piling on, because there's no such thing like that in baseball. There's no sure things, but certainly it just makes them that much stronger, definitely.
Do you think the Nationals now move Steven Strasburg? And if so, where do you think is a good landing spot for Steven?
Yeah, I think it's wise. It's simply because you got another guy who's a Scott Boras client. He's just 2 years from free agency. So at this point in time, that's when he's, his trade value is really, really kind of peaking. And, I mean, you name it. It's, the natural fit, obviously, would be San Diego, which is where he's from and where they're looking to make some noise and where they might actually have potentially the payroll flexibility to try to retain him in 2 years. Although, he would probably get too rich for their blood, you would think. The question is, did San Diego burn too many of their good prospects? Mm-hmm. In the moves to get Matt Kemp, Will Myers, and whatnot, a little bit thinned out. So who knows if they have the bullets to fire to get a Steven Strasburg. Boston, if they're certainly in on Cole Hamels, you'd think they'd certainly be interested in Strasburg as well. So it's, again, you're getting a guy who has been somewhat inconsistent, but obviously still has that huge upside. Had a really great year from a power pitching perspective last year, even if he hasn't fully grasped the, I guess, what you might call a classic ace role. Certainly a lot of the other numbers are there that we envisioned when he was the first overall pick back in 2010.
Gabe Locke of USA Today joins us talking Major League Baseball. Now that the Tigers have appeared to have lost Max Scherzer, what does that mean for the Tigers? They've won the division 4 straight years. Are they still contenders for the American League Central?
Definitely. I mean, it's there's still a good bit of depth there. You're talking about firing out with Justin Verlander, David Price, and Anibal Sanchez, and the back end isn't disastrous with Shane Green and Alfredo Simon. So it's again the key guy there probably becomes Verlander. His struggles an aberration. If that is true, the new Verlander, can he reinvent himself to a degree? That's a hard thing to do when you're used to having that 98 mile an hour fastball there. So if Verlander is anywhere approaching his semi-old self, then I think they're going to be just fine. I'd almost go so far as to certainly say that they're the favorites, even without Scherzer, going into that AL Central.
There's a lot of Blue Jays fans, obviously, up here in Canada. What'd you make of their offseason, bringing in guys like Russell Martin, Michael Saunders?
Yeah, not bad. Certainly, if you're going to bring in a guy to sort of be a centerpiece of trying to improve, Russell Martin, I think, is almost a perfect guy, simply because he gives you a little bit of sock at that position that's been a bit of a liability, and certainly a great guy to mentor that young pitching staff. And again, it's a matter of those young pitchers really kind of taking that next step, the Hutchinsons, the Stromans, everybody else. It's that's going to have to be there for them to contend. They're very intriguing. They can go all kinds of different ways. You could see them. You could see them winning the division. You could see them winning 75 games. I mean, it's a lot of different ways that team can go. But I do like what they did, and if nothing else, they've put themselves in position to do some really good things this year.
Gabe, what did you make of the move yesterday between the Brewers and Rangers when Milwaukee trades Giovanni Gallardo over to the Texas Rangers? Is that a good move for both teams?
remains to be seen about the Brewers, how they'll go about filling that position. But obviously, a guy coming up on free agency, so you get some young players in return if they, you know, can't really weigh in on what they may think of those guys. But you can see why the Brewers would do it. The Rangers, you know, it's Gallardo has been an innings eater, and even though he hasn't been 100%, isn't quite what he was, he's never pitched fewer than 180 innings in his career. So suddenly, a rotation that looked really thin, now you're rolling out Yu Darvish, Derek Holland, who should be 100% after last year, and then Gallardo. So that's certainly adds a pretty rock solid guy to a team that that can only stand to improve, just based on how devastated they were by injury last year. So not a bad roll of the dice by those guys, and I can certainly see what they were doing there.
Gabe Locke of USA Today joins us talking MLB. To me, one of the bigger winners of free agency has been the Chicago Cubs, obviously landing John Lester, but also getting a new manager, Joel Maddon. What are some reasonable expectations for the Cubs in 2015?
Yeah, that's it's always the kind of the kicker there is how excited can you get? And I still think they're a bit of a ways away. The rotation thins out a bit after the top three guys there, obviously. A lot of young talent, but it's still young talent. It may take some adjustment and a tough environment to come into. Suddenly the expectations are sky high. So, if Chris Bryant, when he does come up, starts off, in a 1-for-20 hole or whatnot, it's not like doing it in Tampa Bay. Suddenly he's going to have these expectations in this refurbished Wrigley Field with this new manager and everything else. If they finish 500, I think that's a pretty solid step forward. Anything more, and I think they would be overachieving. So, not to be so negatively oriented when it comes to the Cubs, but if this year is something better than a disaster, I think it'll be a pretty good step for them. And I think 500 is realistic, and things break well, maybe a little better than that.
Yeah, I agree. Just steps forward for this team. I thought they had a great offseason. I thought the Boston Red Sox also had a good offseason. Gabe, who do you think was the biggest winner in the offseason? Which team improved the most as pitchers and catchers, I believe, report in just over a month now?
Yeah, just about a month away here, coming up very quickly. And, it's tough to always anoint an offseason winner, but I guess I'd have to say the Chicago White Sox. And typically I don't reward the team that did the most. I mean, usually the offseason winner is A, the team that spends the most, and B, the team that keeps baseball writers happy and excited with transactions in an otherwise boring winter. But I do like a lot of what the White Sox did. You really need a good 1-2-3 rotation punch, and suddenly, you're talking about Chris Sale, and you're pairing him with Jeff Samardzija. All of a sudden, LaRoche, a really underrated performer there. I think it gives their lineup a lot of balance. Melky Cabrera certainly upgrades their outfield. They're no longer wondering what Dion Viciado is going to do. Now they've got a pretty solid outfield all the way across the board, good depth to their lineup, and also a really solid bullpen to back up the aforementioned starters. So, sure, they did a lot. They grabbed a lot of headlines, but they were solid moves, not just the sort to get attention. So, pretty big tip of the hat to the White Sox.
Gabe, we'll get you out of here on this one. The New York Yankees have had a very relatively quiet offseason. They've missed the playoffs for two consecutive years. They haven't missed for three straight years since 92, 93, and 94. What'd you make of Brian Cashman's offseason? A very quiet one for the Pinstripes.
And this is kind of the problem you have when you lock up so many guys to long-term deals, is you gain, sure, you may have financial flexibility when you're the Yankees, but you suddenly lose roster flexibility and you get a little bit boxed in. I thought it was wise to retain Headley. Then you're not worrying about A-Rod playing third base. Again, different situation in the Blue Jays, but kind of similar in that they could be somewhere all over the map. I think with the Yankees, you'll peg them for around 85 to 90 wins. The question is, what does everybody do around them? And I think the problem is among the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Red Sox, and the Orioles, there's a good team in there somewhere. The yeah. Yankees, I think they'll be fine. I just don't think they'll be that great. So, again, things break well. They win 88 games. That's fine. But I really think that in those other four teams, there's a lot of upside and that somebody's going to come along and win 93, 95 games and win the division. So maybe a wild card for them this year. I don't know if that would be acceptable in the Bronx, but that's kind of the way it seems like things are headed, unless they, you know, they pull something off here in the next few weeks.
Gabe, I appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by this afternoon.
You got it anytime.